81, Anna Jameson and the team with you. Manchester Mastermind is returning at 8:45. Right now, let's return to Greater Manchester's 15-year plan for where housing and business development should go. Those plans actually are nearing completion after years of rows about how much protected greenbelt land will be used. Now, that, as you may know, has led to protest marches and Stockport, the borough of Stockport, pulling out of it completely. But after the government's planning inspectorate gave it final approval last month, the nine councils still part of the Places for Everyone scheme have been voting to finally sign it off. Now, Salford Mayor Paul Dennett says it's an important step.
Having a plan and a vision puts us in a really strong place once this is ratified by all of the nine local authorities that are party to it. It allows us to build on our successes to date around devolution. I also think it's important as well in terms of the message it sends to the global economy. You know, what we're saying here is Manchester is open for business. We want businesses to come here. We've got a strategic plan for the future. And this is the place to be.
That's Salford City Mayor Paul Dennett. Well, these new plans could see 165,000 new homes being built here in Greater Manchester by 2035. Now, widespread opposition over the use of greenbelt land led to the plan being rewritten several times. Jackie Copley from the Campaign to Protect Rural England says they've had some success.
Overall, we're pleased that we're moving towards having an adopted plan in place to steer strategic decisions. But whilst we're pleased that we managed to reduce the amount of greenbelt being released by half, there still is a high number.
Well, Marge Powner is part of the Save Greater Manchester's Greenbelt Group and lives near Carrington Moss in Trafford, which is earmarked for development in the plan. Marge, great to have you on the show. Tell us about the greenbelt that's being going to be built on where you live, because I know that there are plans been drawn out already.
Thank you for having me on the show. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Carrington Moss is an ecology-rich and an isolated site. So it's got a 335-hectare peat moss, grade 2 agricultural land, which last year was growing potatoes, carrots, grain. So we need this land for climate mitigation and for nature's recovery. It's also got a lot of woodland and wetland, sustains over 25 red-listed birds which breed and feed on there, you know, and a number of endangered creatures as well. So to build on land like this, which has to be probably the land in Trafford with the highest amenity and environmental value, seems like a very odd decision to me from our councillors, especially when there is neither the necessity or the desirability from communities to have this land developed. So I think there's real reasons here why there should have been a rethink, especially as, you know, all the councils in Greater Manchester actually declared a climate emergency, and they say that this plan, Places for Everyone, is underpinning the ambitions in the Greater Manchester strategy. But that strategy said there are two most pressing issues for the city region, and they are responding to the interconnected challenges of climate change and inequality. And neither of those things are adequately addressed in Places for Everyone, to be honest.
Well, it's been a long year in the planning this, and it's been under different guises, but the Places for Everyone scheme is the one that we're with now. It's taken 10 years, more than 10 years, to get to this point. And we're being told, Marge, that development will be built on brownfield sites first, but that it's not a legal requirement. So, I mean, you know, Trafford Council have to build new houses. If they're building on brownfield sites first and then they've got another allocation, inevitably it's going to be Greenbelt, isn't it?
Well, let's be clear. Greenbelt will be released on the day that the plan is formally adopted. So and developers are going to be interested and probably have planning applications ready to go. So it's unlikely that this is going to be a brownfield first plan. But if that was the case, and let's be clear, there could have been a decision after the 2016 version when over 20,000 residents objected to the release of Greenbelt. There could have been a decision at that point to pull the Greenbelt sites and go forward much more quickly with a brownfield only plan, which is what Stockport's doing now. But if this was a truly brownfield first plan, then the brownfield would be delivered first and foremost, and Greenbelt land would only be considered once that supply had been exhausted, which would never happen, by the way, because more brownfield land comes forward every year. So it's not a requirement, it's not a necessity to develop on Greenbelt land. It's a choice of the councillors who are making these decisions.
The government's planning inspectorate has approved this plan, and you're right, it's not a legal requirement to build on brownfield sites first. By the middle of next week, though, councils will have finally signed it off. Will you accept it then, or will you keep trying to fight it?
We are still looking at whether there are other things we can do to prevent the development on Greenbelt because it's unnecessary. So we're discussing the potential for legal action with barristers. And of course, that means we have to raise a huge sum of money to pay for it. So if all your listeners can go to our website, our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, or our Instagram account, you'll find the details of how they can help us with a small donation. We really need our communities to get behind us on this. It's only communities that have to put their hands in their own pockets to try and get a plan that meets the needs that residents want rather than what developers want.
But and if this is going to, sorry to interrupt you there, Marge, but if this is going to be actually signed off, then what can you actually do? Launch a legal challenge?
Yes, launch a legal challenge. Yes, that's one option for us. Yeah. And of course, we can challenge planning applications as they come through, because there are policies in this plan that those planning applications would have to adhere to. But we're not convinced that, for example, within the plan, there is very little ecological evidence that's linked to the allocations on Greenbelt sites. And that evidence needs to be put forward with planning applications if it's not been there with the within this plan. So, you know, there's a number of things that we may be able to do. But yes, we are discussing legal action with barristers.
But, you know, a lot of people listening now may be wondering, well, if you're going to be halting any kind of new development, then homes aren't being built. We know we've got a renting crisis. It all comes down to supply and demand. Do you accept that there's a big need for more homes to be built?
We certainly do. But those homes, the homes that people are in dire need of, is social housing, and that's not covered in this plan. In fact, the reference to the social housing target has been removed from
this
plan.
It's not just social housing. I mean, that is a big proportion, but, you know, there's an overall housing need.
There is, and you, as you said yourself, there is 165,000 homes that can be built on brownfield land. So
No. It says it could see 165,000 new homes being built by 2035. I didn't say on brownfield land, just to be clear.
Right. So the figures themselves are that Greater Manchester has sufficient land supply to build 175,000 homes on brownfield.
Okay, I can't verify that because I don't have those figures in front of me. But okay, if that's what you say.
It's in the plan. It's in the plan.
Right.
It is set out in the plan. So that available land supply exceeds the government's housing target, and that's brownfield land supply, and that is sufficient supply to create the equivalent of two new boroughs in Greater Manchester. So if this is a brownfield first plan, then that brownfield supply should be focused on first. And let's be clear, Greater Manchester has had significant sums of public money to support them in regenerating that brownfield land. But so that should be coming forward first.
Marge, doesn't each local authority though have a housing target? So is that spread evenly, that brownfield land?
So there's brownfield land available in each local authority.
Yeah, but then I mean, look, we're going to get into the nooks and crannies, and I'm conscious we have to get to the news now, but I'm just conscious that it might not be fitting the quota on all brownfield land for each local authority, so which would then force each local authority to build on greenbelt. So if you put it all together in one region, yes, you've got those figures, but it might be different from council to council.
And either we've got a regional plan or we've got a local plan. And, you know, we've got a regional plan that meets the government's housing need target. But also, let's be clear, the government's requirements set out in the framework are that councils have sufficient land for the first 5 years,
okay,
and it's desirable that they have land for the next 10 years. So that land supply that I was talking about only covers 15 years of a 16-year plan. So, you know, we are in a situation here where each council has sufficient land supply. They have put on enormous and unnecessary buffers to create the need to release green belts.
Okay.
So, for campaigners like us, what we're seeing is an unnecessary focus on greenbelt, when actually, if this is a brownfield first plan, then brownfield first should be coming forward.
Marge, we're going to have to leave it there, but great to have you on the show. Thank you for your time. Marge Pounder there, part of the Save Greater Manchester's Greenbelt Group. It's